We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, people of Internetlandia. This is a Really Radio Show 78, the Nope, the Dope, and the Pope for Show 78, Friday, September 25th, 2015, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, with my usual suspect, Michael, and my becoming a more usual suspect, Ophelia Falls. Welcome, Ophelia. Welcome, Michael.
Hello.
Why, hello there, hello there.
Excellent. You can find Ophelia and Michael on their various Tumblr blogs in the show notes, available at OReillyRadio.com. A writer from last week. Well, oh, look, I didn't have a show last week. But previous to that, we did have a show. And in the event that we make mistakes this show, which is likely, you can correct us by sending us an email at oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com, or you can phone it in, or even text it in, at 470-222-6759. I did take the day off last week, and if you don't want me to do that anymore, follow the links to support the show. I certainly appreciate everyone listening, but boy, you know, I got tired. So, there you go. A shout out to one of our listeners that realized that we can get text messages on that voice line at 470-222-6759. They said, "This past show was amazing. The addition of Ophelia was the bee's knees. I hope she plans to come back. The three of you together is awesome sauce. I didn't want the show to end. Keep up the great work. You guys really are great."
I would just like to say that I am mad at someone actually, non-ironically, the phrase, the bee's knees.
It's not just me who says it. You, a random person. Thank you and bless.
You're the cat gammas.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely some of the best news of all. So thank you to all the listeners and the voyeurs out there. This show is for you. So into the rant segments and headlines. Oh, my dear flying spaghetti monster, or whatever your sacred deity of choice is, there was a lot going on.
There are many things happening.
Busy week for idiots.
Yes, and some of them, like GOP presidential hopeful and Koch brothers golden boy Scott Walker, he decided to just leave the presidential race on the 21st. So the field is slimming. But what are the Koch brothers going to do with all their billions of dollars? I don't know. This should be interesting. I've got a link to Scott Walker's Facebook post explaining why he decided to leave the race, and the emotional pleas and the thank yous and the gratitudes and the, you know, throwing himself on his own petard and all that.
And the bullshit.
Yes. GOP frontrunner Donald Trump is now at a staggering 40% in the polls.
Oh, God.
I'm very frightened by this, very frightened. And so should you. Democratic socialist and adopted grandpa to many, Bernie Sanders, is up another 10 points in New Hampshire primary polls. The Ghostbusters franchise reboot just got another boost as Sigourney Weaver has signed on. So that should be interesting. I have no idea what the hell she's going to be doing in there. Probably playing the same character, just, what, 20 years later?
You know, she can do what she wants. Sigourney Weaver.
This is true.
She's going to tell her no. She's a large woman.
She's an in-charge woman.
She's a very tall, very strong woman who has many opinions. And if she couldn't logic her way in, she could probably just pick her way in.
Well, yeah, especially if somebody gives her a robotic suit. You know, power armor is all she
needs.
You bitch!
There you go. And reminding me that I'm never going to travel to Saudi Arabia, they have declared that all atheists are terrorists in a new law to crack down on political dissidents. And to carry on with that, a Saudi teenager named Ali Mohammed Al-Namir has been sentenced to death by crucifixion. And that escalated quickly, did it not?
What? Well, you know, what? Well, you know, if you're going to execute someone, you might as well go whole hog.
Yeah. So I didn't really think that that was a thing anymore in the world, but well,
Andy,
apparently everyone can hear the echo.
I'm looking at the chat room right now.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
They can hear it too.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's disturbing. And of course, we have technical difficulties. I'm not sure what we can do about this. Okay. What can we do about this?
What are you doing differently this time from the last show?
I'm quite literally not doing anything differently than last show.
Boo.
Yeah, that's the problem. Okay, let me see here. We may just lose this beautiful microphone. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is the echo gone?
The echo is gone. Okay. Then we'll just go with that.
You might have to bump up your levels, but other than that...
I don't know that I can.
No?
No. I don't know that I can. That is the other alternate problem. So...
You are audible, but you are low.
I'm audible, but I am low. Okay, let me see if I can do something about that. This is the internet. I should be able to. I'm just going to keep talking until something happens here. Thank you, one viewer out there that's actually giving us this feedback that is very helpful. And let's see. Okay.
Troubleshooting on the air. It happens.
How's that? Is that better? Is that better? Better one? Better two? Better one? Better two?
You sound like you're about a foot further than you were, but you're still clear.
A foot further than I was. Well, at least I'm clear. Okay. There are other issues that go along with this, but... That's the inside baseball action that nobody really wants to hear. So as long as the people out there in YouTube land can hear me and are not getting too much feedback, we will proceed as if nothing has happened. So moving right along, unfortunately, I'm also not going to be able to play anything into the audio stream. So that will be unfortunate. So, meh. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right, crucifixion. Moving on. Scientists are now growing kidneys in laboratory that are fully functional when transplanted into animals. No commentary on that.
I have a lot of thoughts. One being, are these animals they're using sickly, or just did they just swap them out?
Probably just swap them out.
Because I wonder if that'll have...
medical testing.
Yeah, well, because I wonder if that's going to have a long-term...
Michael, you are muted.
I doubt that they are just swapping them out, because from what I have seen, they usually take a healthy animal and just transplant the object onto it and see if it works, see if blood flow establishes and all that. Because that's what they do with, like, the artificial ears and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because
there's
that's
no reason to take out a perfectly good organ.
Well, I mean, they don't do that. What I mean is, like, for a kidney transplant in humans, the sickly person simply gets 3 kidneys.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the kidney recipients in these tests are already sickly animals who need it, or if it's because that would have to, I assume, from what I remember working in the lab, the health of the subject does influence how things go on.
That's why I'm saying it's usually just an extra thing grafted on, because if they don't start with a perfectly healthy animal, that can skew the data.
I imagine, Touché. Though, that they're actually removing one of the kidneys and monitoring function, because this is to see whether or not the organ actually functions for its intended purpose. So you have to monitor the whole overall health of the animal. So probably
you can
maybe both would be removed.
You can.
You don't want the test subject to die. So
no, but there are still going to be noticeable differences if you attach a third kidney to an existing two kidney system. You're going to notice an increase in function. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, the kidney system is already a system of redundancy. You only need one.
Right.
So
I'll keep my kidneys for now. Until they start to fail. But this is really fantastic that we're actually now growing fully functional kidneys, and, well, the potential for other organs is fantastic. The U.S. Senate has passed Senator Warren's historic bill to fully disclose all of Wall Street settlements.
Good.
It's going to be fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yes?
I just think beautiful. It's beautiful that that's something that they were all like, you know what? Yeah.
This is the thing that we need to do. Let's do it.
Let's just do the thing. I'm very proud of them for that.
Just do the thing? Yeah. Just do the thing. Noam Chomsky, I think we've heard about him in the past. He's come out and said that Democrats are now the moderate and are actually moderate Republicans, essentially, while Republicans are now so off the spectrum of reality that they cannot be measured.
I feel like Noam Chomsky was bugging my phone when I had this conversation with someone recently.
Noam Chomsky, have you been reading my diary?
Gosh, I bet he follows my Tumblr.
Dear diary, I mean Noam Chomsky.
Right?
Noam Chomsky, if you're listening to this right now, please call in and tell me where you got your information, because I said that already.
470-222-6759. Defiant clerk Kim Davis, who has somehow managed to actually be in 4 weeks worth of news, she is apparently, when she got back on the job out of jail, she confiscated and altered all of the marriage licenses issued while she was in jail.
Like, isn't that illegal on so many other levels than just...
It really should be.
Because I feel like when these things are done and they're notarized and they're, you know, finished, isn't it illegal to tamper with them once a contract's been signed?
You're tampering with a legal document here. This is like go to federal pound me in the ass prison illegal.
She is pushing the envelope. I will definitely say that.
Wait, hold on. My card's right here.
I will say one thing about her. And this is by no means a endorsement of her behavior. However, I will say one thing. She has conviction. She is committed. Granted, she's committed to being a moron, but she's fucking committed.
She should be committed.
But I'm bum.
But I will say she is learning how to milk the system because she knows she's got this thing I put up here.
I love, the cards. The cards make everything better.
And
for those of you listening to only the audio stream, you're missing out because Ophelia actually does have little 3x5 index cards of privilege or whatever they happen to be.
Christian privilege. She
was, that was the Christian privilege card that she
that was great.
Played. So fantastic.
I'm re-outlining them in black so they can be seen better, but yes.
Lovely. There is a video. You can follow the link through our show notes to actually see what Kim Davis has to say for herself by herself in front of the many microphones that are just milking this for all the news it's worth. Now we're going to move to the Netherlands. Apparently the first driverless cars are actually going to be over there. So driverless pods, which look like small miniature trams, are now traveling on designated public roads in the Netherlands.
You know, I want to revisit this next week because I have a lot of friends in the Netherlands and I want to find out if they've seen these in person or not. But right now they're all asleep because they're in the Netherlands.
Because it's the Netherlands, yes.
Well, they're ahead.
They're like, six and a half hours.
Yeah. I always have to remember which way around the world time increases.
they are in the future.
Yes, they are in
the future. They are in the future, yeah.
So it's like
Volkswagen.
You know, one morning.
Since we're talking about vehicles, Volkswagen has done a good and a bad. They are apparently bringing back the much beloved hippie minibus and making it electric at this time. However, they cheated on smog regulations in a big, huge, expensive, ground-shattering kind of way, something that's going to cost the company in excess of $7 billion to repair.
Can we just pause for laughs that they make an electric microbus, and then we all find out that everything else they have is creating so much smog? Like,
it is a bit of Schadenfreude. Yes.
Like, really? Like,
and that's especially appropriate because they're German.
Yes.
Like, you guys.
Yes. So.
And it's, this is just one of those things. It's like, you guys, I really want you guys, while you're shelling out this $10 billion that you have to pay, I really want you to go over the books and figure out how much it would have cost you to do the right thing in the first place. I bet you it would have been cheaper.
Oh, almost guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Almost guaranteed, yeah.
So. Just do it right the first time, because fixing it is always expensive.
Especially now they've got to be like, oh, we're so sorry, and then they've got to convince the hippies that they're not full of crap with these electric things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, this
the entire
is
state
from...
of Oregon is going to be mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. The entire Pacific Northwest is going to be very upset. And things that are also upsetting, a three-year-old has been diagnosed with the youngest known case of type 2 diabetes.
Diabetes. Well, for Brimley, we need you. Help us.
I have feelings.
I have many feelings about this as well, but I don't think that any of them are going to do this justice. So I'm just going to move on to perhaps greener pastures as Chick-fil-A stops the anti-gay donations. And they've adopted an anti-discrimination policy, at least as far as the company is concerned, not necessarily their founder.
Yeah, no, they say all that. But then again, they had a quote-unquote anti-discrimination policy before, and yet, having worked there, I know this from the inside, the only people who were ever out in the lobby were the pretty white people. Anyone who didn't fit their little pretty white person mold, you never saw. So I don't believe a goddamn thing they're saying. Not until they have, you know, several year track record of good behavior.
I'll say this. Taking back what they said is not going to stop the fact that they have successfully funded a genocide. You can say, we don't discriminate against gays now. Well, we don't have to. The gays we wanted murdered are pretty much dead now. So let's take our money away. And then just say we're doing it for equality.
The gays we wanted dead are gone now?
Yeah, she makes an excellent point. You can't flip a switch and suddenly your reputation is no longer tarnished. No, you're an evil corporation. Saying otherwise isn't convincing anybody. Because this is the age of the internet. We have records. We keep track of this shit.
Though I will say, woohoo, I am not above admitting that this is good news for me because I have in fact missed their peach milkshakes. And now that I know that they are not currently going to be killing people with my milkshake, I can have one again.
I will no longer feel like horrible about occasionally getting waffle fries because waffle fries.
I am slightly addicted to their heroin laced nuggets.
Right?
I am, yeah. So
because I guess we can agree
to keep an eye on them.
Yes.
I became that consumer in that every Chick-fil-A since the whole thing started, I would just like flat up like go up to the counter and be like, are you a franchise or corporate? And when they're like, oh no, we're a franchise. We have gays working here. I'd be like, good. Give me some breakfast chicken nuggets.
That's good. That's at least mostly good, even though a large chunk of their profits do go back to corporate. So
I do my best, but you know what? Chicken. Yeah.
It's good. It's really just darn good. They know how to make a good product. I will say that. Okay. So this has been in the news a lot. A Texas high school Muslim teenager built a clock and was then arrested for building a clock because the administration laughably thought that it was a explosive device.
No, they didn't. And I
No, they certainly didn't, because otherwise they would have evacuated the damn school.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. They felt like humiliating a Muslim child. They did not, under any circumstances, not the teacher, nobody there actually thought he had made an explosive. Because I went to school, you know, just past Columbine, I know that you couldn't say "da bomb" without everyone in the duck and cover position, bomb squad called in, sirens going off everywhere, especially somewhere like the South. No, they did not think he had a bomb. They went, "You're brown and I want you out of here. Ooh, look, you made a thing. We're just going to say it's this," and then kicked him out.
Oh, she's playing the race card, everyone. Playing the race card.
It's true. I will say, though, that now that we've had that incredibly accurate assessment of the situation on hand, the response from certain communities, like the scientific community, for example, has been spectacular. There was all sorts of things from people like my favorite astronaut ever, Colonel Chris Hadfield, you know, supporting him and saying, "Hey, we're doing a science thing. You should come do a science thing. We'll totally pay for you to be here," and all sorts of stuff like that. There has also been a great collection of images of just random brown people, whether or not they're Muslims or not, I don't know, but they're all brown and black people going to work and school and libraries and shit with various clocks of various sizes, and they're just carrying them around and taking pictures with it. To call you out on your bullshit, and it's fantastic.
There was a group of engineering students at MIT that built their own clock and hung it in the student union.
Yep.
It was, you know, quite the nice one too, rather large.
Like, I want to say I'm really glad that, you know, America as a sane whole has been like, you know what, this is such a bunch of malarkey. We're just going to laugh because this kid is now set for life because you guys thought you could get away with racism.
And now he's going to get internships handed to him from science people.
Happened. And this happened.
Christian privilege and the race card.
So
one of the sideline stories of this was how absolutely wonderful a person his father is, because of course the news media camped out like on his doorstep, and instead of shooing them away and trying to get privacy, no, his dad like went out and gave them breakfast, all of them. So I mean, it was quite the heartwarming story overall.
Well, like, and that's also
definitely in the good news category.
That's also, you know, that's in the teachings of Muhammad. That's what you do with someone who is shown ignorance, to show that you do not share their ignorance. You buy them food. It's a very Middle Eastern thing. Oh, are you cranky? Let me feed you. It's something that is in a lot of cultures, and therefore, you know, regional religions have it. And he proved to them in the sweetest, most delicious way possible that there's nothing to fear from his family, even now, which I think is beautiful.
It is. It truly is. So, let's see. SpaceX. Back in January, they hinted that they were going to want to launch a armada of tiny little microsats that are going to beam down internet service to underprivileged areas. And, well, finally, they have actually launched their official request with the Federal Communication Commission and FAA and all the agencies that are going to be needed to do such a thing to launch said 4,000 satellites. 4,000 plus satellites, really. So that's going to be fun.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because the internet has actually been added. I don't know if it's officially yet, but I was reading a lot about it a few months ago. The internet is considered part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs because it is the fastest way to learn now. I feel like some real psychiatrists saw like the post going around like Imgur of somebody hand drawing in Wi-Fi at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and then he like stopped and he got all his friends and he was like, "But guys, no, really, the internet is now necessary to survive. And they were like, all right, let's vote it in. Done.
Yeah, because that vote, well, that there's no chance that vote would pass with anything other than a unanimous approval.
Yeah, but, well, you know? No, there's always going to be that old codger that says, get off my lawn, Wi-Fi. You know. It's like, no, I'm feeling the radio waves. They're giving me this stress disorder thing that doesn't really exist except in my own mind.
It's called being old and boring. Oh, no.
Something along those lines. Also, there's at the Seattle Aquarium, there's a sea otter that has asthma. I feel very bad about this sea otter because I also have a bit of asthma. But he's learned to use an inhaler.
And you just about broke Ophelia with this, because if you do not know, she fucking loves otters. Like, they're her favorite thing in the world.
They are, as far as mammals go, they are my favorite one that is natural in water. So they are my number two favorite mammal of all time. And it's because they're so cute, but they bite so hard. And then they're just so fluffy, and they learn things. And now I know that if I am wheezing in a particular part of this world, I can knock on an otter tank and be like, bro, can I have some? And he'll throw it to me, and I'll be like, thanks, and then give it back, and it'll be great. These are now my goals. Because now when my parents go, stop talking about otters like they're people, I'm going to show them this frickin' video, and I'm going to be like, everyone in our family uses an inhaler, he's people, or we are otters, you choose one.
One of us.
I just...
Okay. So they are good. And now I know something about you. Okay. So, Michael... I need your science brain.
Okay.
Apparently, they've created a magnetic wormhole that can connect two regions of space.
Yes, good.
What in the hell is this about?
Well, I mean, wormhole theory has been around for a long time because, you know, mostly since black holes have been identified because, you know, where does it go? Where does this stuff go? It's got to go somewhere, and from what we can tell, it's not going anywhere. I mean, I'm not 100% on this, because I've very briefly gotten to read it, but I know that wormhole theory has been a thing for a while, and, you know, it's one of the... I know the books you read, that it's a very common science fiction mechanism to get around the whole Einstein wall thing, because faster than light travel sucks when you think about relativity. This is an awesome development.
This is proof of my new catchphrase, which is we are living in the future.
We are living in the future.
We are living in the future as the future has been imagined since about 1910. That's now. 100 years of... Yeah. Well, we're going to do a blah, 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 and now we're doing the blah, blah, blah.
Here's what this thing can do. Okay. They have created electromagnetic wave structure, which directs other electromagnetic waves to a particular point. So... It is
not a gravitational wormhole.
Yeah,
we cannot travel through it.
But it lets them restrict the movement of electromagnetic waves in a way that was previously not possible, because electromagnetic waves propagate in all directions from a source. That's what a wave does. That's why local space is so fucking noisy, because all of our radio transmissions are going everywhere. This allows you to point an electromagnetic, you know, one of those, you know, broad spectrum electromagnetic transmissions at a thing, and it will just go in that direction, which is a precursor to doing many other high-end physics things that we want to do, like actual gravitational wormholes.
Like saying sup to aliens, where you been at this whole time, sup. Oh, also,
they're on the moon. The moon is an alien base.
There's a link in the chat room that I cannot get to open, but if you gentlemen will skim that, I bet it's interesting.
Parent letter, suspicious looking.
Oh, it's the letter that they sent to that poor kid.
Oh, that poor kid's family.
Apparently it's awful.
Okay. It says we'll go back. We'll come back to the wormholes here in a moment.
I'm reading, so I'm sciencing.
Okay. You do that. Okay. You science. I'm going to do this. Okay. Dear parent guardians, in Irvine ISD and at MacArthur High School, your child's safety and well-being is always our top priority, and we want to maintain open, honest, and timely communication with you. If there was ever an imminent threat to your child, we would take immediate and necessary precautions and would inform you immediately. While we, in bold letters, do not have, and bold letters, any threats to our school community, we want you to be aware that the Irvine Police Department responded to a suspicious-looking item on campus yesterday. We are pleased to report after the police department's assessment, the item discovered at the school did not pose a threat to your child's safety. Our school is cooperating fully with the ongoing police investigation, and we are handling the situation in accordance with Irvine ISD Student Code of Conduct and applicable laws. Please rest assured that we will always take necessary steps to keep our school as safe as possible. I recommend using this opportunity to talk with your child about the Student Code of Conduct, and specifically, not bringing items to school that are prohibited. Also, this is a good time to remind your child of how important it is to immediately report any suspicious items and or suspicious behavior they observe at any school employee, to any school employee, so we can address it right away. We will always take necessary precautions to protect our students. Thank you for your understanding and support of MacArthur High School as we do everything we can for your child's safety. Is it really MacArthur? Because it sounds more like...
McCarthy.
But I'm Yeah. You saw where I was going with that. Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, well, it's kind of one of those Hitler Youth kind of things. You know, report on everyone else around you, right?
Yep.
The whole thing just felt very, like, Orwellian.
It is. Yes. I got that vibe from it.
There wasn't actually anything wrong.
No.
There wasn't anything wrong. Dear families, no, we know this. We still arrested the kid because he's different. Mm-hmm. Just for your safety.
Now, remind your child how important it is to immediately report any suspicious items and or suspicious behavior they observe to any school employee so we can address it right away.
We're going to expel more brown people. Watch how long we get our tax dollars. The end. You know what's coming up. Come on.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Buck, from the chat room, where he says, I wormhole back to a previous topic. Very funny. And, of course, that letter needs to be read by J.K. Simons. And yes. I believe you are correct. Okay, so back to the wormholes.
Back to the wormhole, and here's the kicker of this thing, and this is why it is, even though it's purely electromagnetic at this point, it's still fucking amazing, because the whole idea of a gravitational wormhole, the classic sci-fi wormhole, is that you are altering local space-time topography so that what's going on inside the wormhole does not obey the laws of what's going outside the wormhole. That's how you can go from point A to point B without crossing the distance in between. This does that. Electromagnetic events that are happening inside the wormhole structure are undetectable from the outside. It is isolated. It is altering the topography of local space.
So this would be great for, current practical applications. Secure transmissions that cannot be breached.
Yes. From the lead researcher on the project, this is a quote from him, it changes the topology of space as if the inner region has been magnetically erased from space. What is on the inside cannot be detected from the outside. While it is in transition.
Now, you said practical uses, and for impractical uses, I'm thinking of every cool sci-fi cartoon and anime that has come out in the last 30 years and how we can do that soon.
Well, another one of the practical applications is an MRI machine that doesn't require you to sit in the middle of it for the whole 20 minutes. you know, targeted MRI scans.
So the whole thing would happen instantaneously, you know, but still in a scanning method.
Yeah. It's just, there is, the things that we are learning about wave mechanics from this are fascinating. Because if we can do it to electromagnetic waves, eventually we can do it to light. If we can do it to light, we can do it to space. I mean, it just...
And then time itself.
Targeted MRI scans. This is the beginning of an actual tricorder.
Yes.
Where we live you in just the future. Point it at the person, scan them. Okay. Oh, bloop, bloop, bloop. You've got cancer on your left testicle.
We Sorry live about in that. The future. But then also radiation therapy can go this way. So instead of, you know, irradiating an entire person for a tumor, we can just be like, pew, pew, I wormholed it. It's gone now.
Well, that's the... Yeah, yes and no. There's still problems with the radiation therapy because just because you irradiate one portion of tissue doesn't mean there aren't consequences. But still, it's overall better for you, yes.
Yeah, I mean...
There are always consequences.
There are always consequences. But yeah, the implications here are very wide-reaching, and I'm very excited for it.
We live in the future.
This is great stuff.
Making that a card.
due to the nature of our problem here with the echoey technology, I can't play the drops. I can't play the bumpers. I can't play the promos, which is sad. So I'm going to say, if you would like to make the world a better place, then you could do worse things than going and visiting our friends over at the Gorilla Skepticism on Wikipedia project. And you can find them at facebook.com/GSOW project. And they provide training on how to edit Wikipedia articles in a rigorous, skeptical fashion. They try not to take any sides. They just present the facts. And they do translation into multiple languages of many articles. And once you have the knowledge, you can go on and do things that aren't assigned, because that's the nature of Wikipedia. So you can make the world's number one resource for facts and knowledge a better place, one page at a time. Go check them out at GSOW Project out on Facebook.com. Okay. So that was that. Now then. wah, wah, wah. It really just doesn't have the same feel. I'm going to have to work something out.
We will figure this out.
Yeah, my empire's crumbling. No, it's okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Into the good. So, the Pope. Pope Francis has been on a whirlwind tour of the world, and he has landed in the United States and has been knocking around here for a few days. And he is the first pope ever to address a joint session of Congress in the United States. And he had a lot of interesting things to say.
Oh, my God. Watching that video and watching as they zoomed in, and whoever the cameraman was for this, I fucking love them, watching it as they zoomed in on various... Republican talking heads and just the looks on their faces as they're being constantly shamed by the fucking Pope. I loved every second of it.
Here's what I'll say, like, new Pope is not perfect, but new Pope is danged close to perfect since the first one we've had.
He's way better than Emperor Popatine. That's for damn sure.
Oh, I've been calling him New Pope. My family held a mock election in honor of New Pope. My family is Catholic. I am not, but my family is. We had banners in my mother's house that said New Pope for Pope, hooray. here's the deal.
Okay.
New Pope... is when he has writing, he ends up a lot more on the status quo side when he's writing something, because he has other people to kind of temper that. You give New Pope a microphone, and New Pope is like, I've got your attention. This is why you suck. But I can't say you suck too much because Jesus. Also, read the goddamned Bible before you say anything, because I'm the Pope, and this is my job. Your job is running countries.
I'm the
countries.
Pope, and this is my jam.
Like, well, he has this,
I would like
very...
to point out real quickly here that I'm going to use that as a drop from now on. Read the goddamn Bible.
Just read it. Read it. No, just, like,
just read it. It's
like, read the goddamned Bible. To be fair, the Old Testament was damned by God if you're a Christian. God himself was like, keep that first chapter and everything else. Meh. But
it's my earlier work. I can do better.
I never like to look back on my old work. You know, but like the Pope gets a microphone, and every time he gets a microphone, you can just see it on his tiny old Pope face. He's got something he's wanted to say, and now he has your attention. Like when he went to the Philippines, and he was like, I know you guys follow the teachings of the church, and the church has voted that we are against artificial contraception. However, and his exact words, I believe, were, don't keep going at it like rabbits.
I believe he did say that,
This to an entire country. Yep. And then this week, he gets into like the United States of America, and all these people are like, blah, 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 God, blah, blah. And he's the only guy that everyone is pretty sure may come from an office that God may have actually had something to do with, because it's been there for a while. And he's like, listen, conservatives, I know Jesus is great and stuff, but could you stop the name dropping? You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and it was glorious. Every
stop the name dropping. That's good. That's good. Now, I would like to point out a couple things before we continue to praise the Pope. He does still reject gay marriage in favor of the traditional family. He's still with the whole international prohibition on birth control. He would just like to see the people. Well, fuck less, basically. more responsible abstinence only is kind of what he's going for. And that includes in the more AIDS and sexually transmitted disease ravaged countries of the world. He has compared transgendered people to nuclear weapons in their ability to wreak havoc on the natural order of creation. And he also tends to victim blame the dead writers of, like, Charlie Hebdo, with the suggestion that free speech must end where criticism of religion begins.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of problems. On the one hand, he doesn't believe in free speech, but on the other hand, you know, he's trying to tell the religious community that, you know, climate change is totally a thing. There's good and bad there.
Well, I have a counter, a really powerful counter that I think, well, for me, when it was pointed out to me, I found it very powerful in this. Like, as a member of the transish community, and as somebody who partakes in damned near everything, he's like, oh, you're not going to go to hell for it, but could you not? Like,
could you maybe just...
You know, you'll do better
biblical.
If you...
Could you just do that?
You know, just, you know, I'll say that before he got to his position, where he is now as Pope, he was in Argentina, because he's Argentinian, and he was close to the genocidal dictator they had there in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And he said publicly whatever that dictator needed to hear to get out of his business. And then it turns out, once he was gone, that he was doing the opposite of what he had been preaching openly, because he knew it was the only way to get things done without being officially shut down. And knowing that that's something he did for like a third of his life, I find it really hard to believe that he believes a lot of that crap. And also, he doesn't tend to say these things out loud. Again, a lot of these things are things that he releases, where other people are reviewing and writing. Because I know he's pissing off a lot of the guys who voted for him. Which is fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is fine. And I appreciate that. But I when it comes to, like, when he starts to seem to be backpedaling into the things that people usually have to complain about Catholicism with, and it always kind of seems like he's doing it so people don't stop being Catholic.
No, he plays the game well. That's for damn sure.
It is. Yeah.
You know, like I find it hard because I mean, like, I find it really hard to believe that he would actually believe, you know, trans people are an A-bomb and all this kind of crap, when in his next breath it's, I swear to my boss, if you raise a hand to one of these poor homo children, you will go to hell. Like, you know, I feel like he's playing this duplicity to pull more people in and more people in, and he intends on using his powers for good through slow motion brainwash.
It reminds me of what every kid did in school ever, where you're doing whatever the fuck you feel like doing in class because you're bored and you're talking to your friends or whatever, and then as soon as the teacher starts looking in your direction, you're a diligent hard worker again. And then as soon as they start looking in a different direction, you do whatever you feel like again. So, not entirely sure what's going on with Mr. Hippie Pope here.
Because well, every time he says something...
he is disturbing a lot of people.
Yeah.
So every time he says something hateful... you know, or that, you know, reasonable people like us here, I dare say, would consider hateful or like a deal breaker, he spends like the next month doing good things for these people.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He didn't do what, you know, Pope John Paul II is being sainted because people liked him. He didn't really do too terribly much for all this saintliness, but in his last book, he flat out said two sentences in the same chapter, I want to say it's the same chapter, but in his last book that was not widely released because he was an old guy and he was clearly going crazy old guy, he said that yes, marriage and equal treatment is a human right. However, I don't like gay people, so I don't want them to have it. And he said it like that petty, the same way he said that anybody of Turkish lineage was automatically going to hell because he was shot by a Turk that one time. Like, we have to remember that at the end of the day, these are still men.
Yeah.
And I don't mean men in like the misogynist sort of way. I mean, like, they are human beings, and human beings suck.
Human beings, yeah, we suck. We suck a lot.
We do have a lot of biological baggage. I will definitely concede that point. Now, one thing that this particular edition of the Holy See has going for him is a PR agent from Fox News. So, a friend of mine named Joey Lee Kirkman wrote a book called PR Pope. And I'm going to have to read that, and then I'll get back to you with more information as to that. But, some of the things that he's saying, great things. He's definitely saying all the things that we want to hear in public. And then many of the cardinals on the back end are trying to reel him back in. No, 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 no.
No.
What have you done? What have you done? What have you done? And then it's like damage control for like months. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. And the chat room says, new Pope is greater than the new Coke.
Well, that's definitely true, because new Coke is garbage.
It's
Do you know what isn't garbage? Do you know what isn't garbage, though? Surge.
Surge.
I remember from last time, yes.
Get a backup for anybody who can see this.
Oh, you have a tower surge. There.
That's tower surge. And nice. There's a case. If I move back this much.
There's a case of surge.
We are not sponsored by Surge, but hey, Surge, holla!
Nice. Apparently, due to all the massive traffic jams, there were $95 private chopper rides to avoid the traffic jams.
With the Pope?
Yes.
With the Pope.
Thank you, chat room, for giving that to us. So that's fun.
The Pope is fueling the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, NPR, just to continue moving along, NPR had 10 most political moments in his hour-long address. I also have links to the video of the address and also to the transcript, so you can go and dissect it to your heart's content. But there are 10 moments that they outlined. One was, and I'm just going to run down, he actually went and shook hands with Secretary of State John Kerry, who is in favor of the Iran nuclear deal, and by the way, so is the Pope. He had been snubbed previously due to the whole abortion rights thing. It was actually, they were trying to deny carry communion even over the whole thing. So it was kind of a big deal. But the Pope snubbed an awful lot of people that would really have loved to shake his hand. In fact, sure there were 8 designated people on either side of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, that were there to prevent other people from trying to go up and shake his hand.
I wish I had that job.
And it's like, that's an amazing thing. Because, yeah, he's surrounded by security all the time, but you can't really do that in the chambers. Mm-hmm. So they designated members of Congress and Senate to do that job for them. And I found that rather interesting.
It's just like, no, you don't get Pope time.
Yeah. No,
you
don't. No. It's like, no, he knows your voting record. The answer's no.
Yeah. He said no to, are you on the list? I'm sorry, you're not on the list. You can't see it.
You're not on the list, yeah. He was a bouncer, after all, so right. That makes right. sense. You're not on the list.
Not on the list. You can't see the Pope.
Secondly, was a call to rise above polarization. Francis warned against the temptation of the simplistic reductionism which sees only good or evil, or, if you will, the righteous and the sinners. The contemporary world, with its open wounds, which affect so many of our brothers and sisters, demand that we confront every form of polarization which would divide it into 2 camps. So, please, you know, seek more common ground, I think is really the gist of that message.
I feel like it was very quit your belly aching, do your job thing.
That too.
I believe that, you could probably distill that out of that too, given the audience in question. There was a call for the country to open its arms to immigrants and refugees.
Oh my God, that was my favorite segment. Absolutely favorite segment, because that was the point where this cameraman proved that he is doing the Lord's work, because he was scanning the room for all the anti-immigration people, and he made sure that Bonner was very prominently in that frame as the Pope from Argentina is telling all of them, hey guys, every single person in this room, none of y'all is a Native American, therefore all of y'all is immigrants just like me. What the fuck's your problem?
Mm-hmm. Like, I just, sometimes, I'm just like, you know what? If the Christian God is out there, I hope he personally was like, you're a Pope! It's my number one guy, that's the CEO of my company.
That's my dude!
Because Pope Francis, like, taking no shit. Like, I bet all the Republicans wanted him to be like, for God and country, blah, 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 forgetting that, you know, the United States did not help Argentina at all during their little problem. And...
Well, they were expecting and wanted him to do exactly what John Paul did, which was constantly praise America's freedom and progressivism, because, you know, at the time, we were still ahead of the curve. The rest of Europe has pushed the curve forward, and now we're a fucking backwater because of the Republicans, and they're getting called out on their shit. And they don't like it.
Well, the thing I love about it is, if you look at the Pope as not the Pope per se, but you look at him as what I know he would like to be seen as, and that is an incredibly vocal South American immigrant with a new job that gets him a chance to talk to rich people. Everything about that sentence is what they hate.
Yeah.
to drop some quotes here. In recent centuries, millions of people came to this land to pursue their dreams of building a future in freedom. We, the people of this continent, are not fearful of foreigners, because most of us were once foreigners. I say this to you as the son of immigrants, knowing that so many of you are also descended from immigrants. Our world is facing a refugee crisis of a magnitude not seen since the Second World War. This presents us with great challenges and many hard decisions. On this continent, too, thousands of people are led to travel north in search of a better life for themselves and for their loved ones, in search of greater opportunities. Is this not what we want for our own children? Let us remember the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick which time will use for us. It's good writing.
Papal mic drop.
Yep.
Yeah, it is papal mic drop. Absolutely. Apparently, the Golden Rule line was his biggest applause moment from the chambers. They didn't even let him get through it until
as it should be.
Ovation. Yeah. he then carried on with a reminder on abortion, pivoting to a note that conservative social issues, you know, of the church. The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of its development. However, of course, the Pope actually does have, you know, in pro-life, actually taking care of them after they're born.
Yeah.
So there is a...
I'm okay with a pro-life stance that includes that. Well, I still think you're wrong, but you actually give a crap about it once it's no longer in the human body.
Well, recently he had used the pro-birth stance to say something, you know, graciously passive-aggressive, which is how I would describe most of his speeches, is both
graciously
and
passive-aggressive. I like that.
I feel like that's what he is, you know, because he's real classy, but there's nothing that's passive. That's, I mean, please, he's passive-aggressive.
I would like to be gracefully passive-aggressive in my old age. I think that would be a good stand.
Yeah,
for an old person to be.
You know, I feel like when he said, like, you know, you must take care of the children the same as you must take care of the elderly, or however it is he said it in his last big Pope hoopla, I was like, oh, snap. I mean, stop talking about my uterus. You literally took a vow of abstinence so you could distance yourself from them. However, if someone who has no right to talk about it is going to talk about it, at least you talk about it right.
Yeah.
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 It's like
I said, that's an actual pro-life stance, and I can respect that. I still think you're wrong, but it's a respectable stance as opposed to the pro-birth stance, which is just a bunch of bullshit.
Well, like, you know, like, I feel really bad saying it, especially since this is being recorded, but I feel like it has to be said, like, whenever some old dude is like, blah, 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 no abortion, I feel like if there was a way to get a spite abortion, I should. And then send them my paperwork.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I am 37 seconds pregnant. Guess what? No longer. Fuck you. My uterus. My uterus. Guess what you don't have? One of these. Shut your mouth.
Just gonna, like, hang the no vacancy sign on your belly and that's that.
And then turn it over. Like, you know, like... Go into a clinic with a no vacancy sign on my belt, and then come out with a vacancy sign on my belt, and then just like send that.
Oh,
picture.
Wow!
Yeah, with a nice personalized letter saying, "I did this specifically because you're an asshole. This would never have happened if you weren't a dick."
Thank you.
Okay, so that's fun, and might I recommend for those novelty T-shirt manufacturers to go ahead and print one, you know, on the inside and then on the outside, so that you can just turn it inside out and wear it.
Send me one. I don't want royalties. I just want one.
I think that would work well. Go ahead and take that idea and sell it at Spencer's. Okay. So he also then went on to strongly advocate for abolishing the death penalty, which is definitely a contentious issue here in the United States. Poverty and the necessity of distribution of wealth.
Burn.
Quote, Bernie. I would encourage you to keep in mind all those people around us who are trapped in a cycle of poverty. They, too, need to be given hope. It goes without saying that part of this great effort is the creation and distribution of wealth. It goes without saying. There's the passive aggressive part right there.
That's the definition of it. Most people who use passive aggressive anything, passive aggressive rhetoric, it's fucking annoying. But this guy uses it so masterfully. I just have to applaud him.
Yes, it's elegantly stroked in. Like, you know, Michelangelo has gone in and crafted his things for him.
The thing is, he's very matter of fact, but he's very sweet about it. And, I mean, like, you expect him to be everyone's grandpa handing out hard candy and telling you to make sure your shoelaces are tied.
I imagine, like, they'd be ginger. Like, the hard candies, they'd probably be ginger. So they'd burn a little bit, but they'd really be good after a while.
Yeah,
that's the kind of hard candy I think that he'd give. Anyway,
or like frankincense and myrrh flavored, whatever.
No, that's disgusting.
Eucalyptus everywhere.
As long as it's not patchouli.
Patchouli smells like eucalyptus tears. That's
eucalyptus tears.
It certainly smells like tears.
I have no reference. It brings tears to my eyes. That's what I'll go at. So he also went on, this is point seven, businesses should be about service to the common good. Again, more socialistic, hippy-dippy stuff. Business is a noble vocation directed to producing wealth and improving the world. It can be a fruitful source of prosperity for the area in which it operates, especially if it sees the creation of jobs as an essential part of its service to the common good. All true things. I can't deny that statement.
And that's a nice passive-aggressive jab at American corporate. He already covered trickle-down economics with the previous statement where he's basically saying Keynesian economics is the only one that works with the redistribution of wealth, which we know to be true. But no, this is a nice passive-aggressive shot at American corporate behavior in which they will operate on absolute skeleton crews, the absolute minimum bare-bones staffing they need to maximize profits. They don't create jobs. They maximize profits.
Yeah, that's the way it is, yeah. He then went on to hit my biggest issue, personally, which is calling on Congress to act on climate change. Quote, "This common good also includes the Earth. I call for a courageous and responsible effort to redirect our steps and to avert the most serious effects of the environmental deterioration caused by human activity." So, no bones about it. Humans did this. You need to fix it.
Yeah.
All of Congress, they voted, and it was overwhelmingly that, yes, climate change is real. And then they couldn't agree that it was human caused. They specifically had to re-vote because they wouldn't vote on it any other way.
Yeah.
The thing that I find interesting about that is how all of these... I read a bit of the conservative backlash to that, and a lot of them are the ones that we tell this for women's rights and whatnot, you know, leave this to the doctors and leave this to the scientists and leave this to the professionals. They had the nerve to say that about the Pope. You know what the Pope was before he was a priest?
He was a chemist.
I saw this. It was a great breakdown on Tumblr about this. It was, you know, because first of all, they say that. They say this to the Pope. You know, the Pope says, hey, climate change is real, guys. And they say, oh, leave it to the scientist. One, they're wrong because he was. And two, the instant all the scientists turn to them and say, hey, climate change is a thing, guys, they say, but Jesus.
Yeah, you're welcome for that. I posted that, and you were the first person.
And it was fucking glorious, and I love it because it's true. It's the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm pretty sure, and I can't think of a passage off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure there is something in the quote-unquote good book about taking care of the earth because we have inherited it, and it is, you know, it is God's gift to us, and we should take care of it because you take care of your gifts.
It was the second thing God said. First thing God said was, y'all need to fuck. Second thing he said is, don't break.
Right? I'm pretty sure I don't have a passage off the top of my head. That's in there of, you know, it's one of God's many things that he commanded humanity to do, take care of your planet.
Yeah, basically being a good shepherd and
right?
All that. Yeah. Yeah. Now is the time for Congress for courageous action and strategies aimed at implementing a culture of care and an integrated approach to combating poverty, restoring dignity to the excluded, and at the same time, protecting nature. I do like the message. I cannot deny that. He then went into anti-war messages to call a stop to arms trade. Being at the service of dialogue and of peace also means being truly determined to minimize and in the long term to end the many armed conflicts throughout the world. Well, there goes the military-industrial complex.
Right. Buzzing.
Yeah. And then finally, he addressed the importance of family and marriage. However, I noticed that he did not actually go so far as to decry the same-sex marriages, but more to reinforce that people should have families.
Yeah.
And I know several of the same-sex marriage variety that do have a family.
Yeah.
So there is that
institution. A nuclear family, two parents, kids, and a dog, you know.
Yeah. Well, 2.5 children or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but I did. I also noticed that, and I thought it was very interesting that, you know, this is obviously a Catholic Church talking point, and this is an obvious venue in which to make that talking point, and you know you have support in the room to do so, and yet it is conspicuously absent from his speech.
Yeah,
I think it's, and this is one of those things where, you know, Ophelia and I were agreeing earlier about, you know, he's playing the game really well, and oh, I'm not sure what part of it I actually believe, because I think it's more telling in this case what he didn't say.
Right, and here's what he did say, so that you can get a real good picture of it now that we've trumped it up here, not to bring Donald back into it, but it is my wish that throughout my visit, the family should be a recurrent theme. How essential the family has been to the building of this country, and how worthy it remains of our support and encouragement. Yet I cannot hide my concern for the family, which is threatened, perhaps as never before, from within and without. Fundamental relationships are being called into question, as is the very basis of family and marriage. Of course, he's alluding there. At the risk of oversimplifying, we might say that we live in a culture which pressures young people not to start a family because they lack possibilities for the future. Yet this same culture presents others with so many options that they too are dissuaded from starting a family. It's interesting. You know, he wants people to get married and basically have babies. That's really what he's talking about. That's the message at the end, is, you know, be fruitful and multiply and all.
But it's not just about, you know, having kids. It's about having a nurturing, supporting environment for children, which is also important, of actually giving a crap about your fellow man.
Yeah. And if we, and not to split hairs, but if we look at it, he's really focusing on the middle class.
Yeah.
Well, because those that have too little, they can't create a good sustaining family. Those that have too much have no desire to do that, because then that takes away from their earnings.
Well, I'll say in the last couple minutes, I read the first chapter of Genesis, and the King James version. The King James. This is a very old Bible. It is not my Bible. My hands are not burning miraculously. This is my boyfriend's Bible, but he's got many a Bible. And I look through it, and essentially God was like, look, now that you exist, take care of all this. Give them names and love them. Also, instant coma, instant wife, the end. So that's how that chapter went. But as far as what the Pope said, so that was just going back to the whole, what does the Bible actually say about taking care of the earth? It says, that's your job. That's the one thing you got to do. But as far as what the Pope said, the fact that he specifically did not name the Mogai community is so deliberate, because I think he wants to make sure that everyone knows that being gay didn't make God's top 10 no-no list. Mistreating your family made God's top 10 no-no list.
Yeah.
And he wants, while he says that there are a lot of different things that are feeding into it, meaning that, you know, in his belief that, you know, gay marriage is one of them, but it's not the biggest one. The issue is that people are just told now, no, screw it, if you're not rich, don't have kids. And for a guy who was smuggling infants so that they could have nice, healthy lives for like 2 decades, that's what he did. So for him, for people to be like, we're not having kids, I think it was more commentary on the fact that married couples are encouraged to wait until it's too late, more on the fact that contraception and furthering your own goals is more important to people at this point. I think it was another jab at, like, flat-out capitalism, because he's made a similar speech in France where they really, really like him, because French people, by and large, don't have babies anymore. And I think he came to America, and he's thinking, God, like, all they ever, you know, talk about is family values, and nobody here has a dang child. Like, and then I feel like it was a really, also another gracefully passive-aggressive jab at multiple childless marriages. Where, you know,
politicians are fucking famous for.
Yeah, you know, old politician, stick and move, stick and move, stick and move, no kids because they don't want to have to pay child support.
Yeah, yeah. The chat room was mentioning that he's pretty sure that there's a passage in there about don't be a dick. But I said, no, that's the Book of Wheaton.
It is. It's Jesus who said don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's much later in the book. That's actually in volume 2.
That's in the sequel.
Yeah. In Bible 2, Electric Boogaloo. And for those who may not know, because I did not know and had to go fucking look it up when Ophelia mentioned it, this Mogai word. This is a word that stands for marginalized orientations, gender identities, and intersex. This is basically LGBT, et cetera, et cetera, because there's a lot of labels in there. But it's all one word that covers everything, which I'm going to start using because I never remember all the letters in the alphabet.
Well, we call it alphabet soup.
Can't we add one more and turn it into Mogwai?
I've tried, but you know what?
Because I want
the deal.
That.
I haven't going back to the abortion thing. If you feed me after midnight or get me damp, if a bunch of angry little lizard me's come out, whack them and send them to my representative and be like, this is what happens when you don't take preventative measures.
Okay. And with that little bit, I think we're done with the Pope.
For now.
And this would be where we go and move into the bad. I would be trying to promote the Carolina Secular Conference, but again, I am experiencing technical difficulties. I'm sorry. I'll try for next time. Anyway, moving on. So, it's definitely an easy thing to do to segue from all the things that the Pope has said about bad people and taking care of the poor and feeding the sick and homeless, etc., and go into this absolute douchebag who was a former hedge fund manager, decided to buy the rights to a 62-year-old antiviral medication and jacked the price from $13.50 a tablet to $750 per tablet, which is just the back of the envelope math, over 5,000%
overnight. And the world collectively lost their shit at him.
Yes.
I have so much to say about this because my best friend is a pharmacist, and a pharmacy assistant, and he actually deals with this medication. It's not just for AIDS, though AIDS is applied upon this and the last century.
Yeah, it's also good for toxoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm. Which
toxoplasmosis,
is a very...
for those of you who do not know, is carried in cats, and it's very common, and it can be lethal to pregnant or soon to be pregnant women, as well as the unborn child.
I believe that's specifically Toxoplasma gondii.
Yeah, but toxoplasmosis is the blood poisoning that happens most frequently from gondii, which I mean, like I know toxoplasmosis gondii when it's not when it's not fatal, it turns you into a crazy cat lady. It makes you crave the smell of cat urine to the point where you cannot have enough cats around you because Toxoplasmosis gondii spends most of its lifespan in rats, but they need to reproduce in cats, so the rats have to want to be eaten. So there's that, and then there's AIDS, which is awful, and when you have HIV and AIDS, your chances of getting toxoplasmosis goes way up if you've ever been around a cat.
Well, so, yeah, because it's one of those things where it attacks a weakened immune system, which is why pregnant women are so vulnerable.
Yes, and newborns, because they don't have
just
them.
Just a reminder, AIDS is not just a fancy name. No, no, no. It's an acronym like NASA. Autoimmune Deficiency Syndrome. So, oh, look, your immune system is suppressed. So, all
AIDS doesn't kill you. It's all the other things that you catch that kill you.
Yeah. And I've seen many people die from AIDS in my family and social circles. And the fact that this guy waited for the world to go to sleep to basically say, poor people, women, black men, guess what? Oh, yeah, also the homos, you all deserve to die because I want more money because I gave up my hedge fund. It's so ridiculous. I agree with Donald Trump on this. Donald Trump said this guy is the scum of the earth. He is nothing. He does not deserve to be called a human being. And I literally was like, high five, Donald. We got this one.
Yeah, I agree with this man on one thing and one thing only.
Like, you realize, like, the kind of the piece of shit level you have to be for Donald Trump to be right about his opinion on you
right. Is
astronomical.
Well, this is the thing, and I love this thing because, you know, going back to our hippie pope who we just talked about, I know that he has briefly touched on the whole, you know, how terrible the healthcare system is when it's profit driven and all that. This is what capitalism does to healthcare. And what this is saying, and what the entire world unanimously agreed that it is saying, is that this man is putting a price tag on human lives. He is saying that if you cannot afford my price tag, you do not deserve to live. This is what healthcare means in this country that we live in here in America, is that if you can't afford the price, you don't deserve to live.
Yeah.
Health is a profit point. We all agree that this is bullshit because this monumental douchebag has just been slapped down and forced to change his ways. So we need to take this concept and apply it to the rest of the healthcare industry everywhere.
Let's examine this guy for a minute, because there's a lot of apologists out there that are actually saying that, well, he said that, of course, he's going to give it away for free for those people that cannot afford it, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But let's look at his track record for a moment. The man's name is Martin Shkreli. Shkreli? Shkreli. I'm going to call him Martin, okay? He ignited a firestorm, of course, after he did all this. The rights to it's Daraprim is the name of the medication. Mm-hmm. It's been in use for 62 years. When it was first on the market, it was $1 a tablet, and then it was purchased by another company, and they raised it to $13.50 a tablet, which in and of itself could be gouging. But then he raised it to $750 a tablet. He gave an interview on Monday to Bloomberg, which, well, they took a special interest in this guy. He's only 32 years old. He is a self-trained biologist, and he worked within the biotech futures. Apparently, he founded a biotech company called Retrofin, and then he was unceremoniously dumped September 30th, 2014 as CEO after the company's board of directors concluded that he had committed stock trading irregularities and other violations of securities rules. The company he founded in 2009 then sued him last month for $65 million in damages, claiming the ex-hedge fund manager gave away Retrofin shares to friends and used the biotech firm's assets to pay off personal debts and keep afloat his sinking investment firm, MSMB Capital Management. A filing made in November 2014 with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission showed that he had pulled in nearly $3 million in gross proceeds as he continued selling company stock while simultaneously urging investors to buy into Retrofin, which the rapper quoting then CEO hyped on his Twitter account. He is the definition of Wall Street douchebag. He's a stereotype. He is what all the other stereotypes are built on. He has fashioned his life after the things that he's seen in, like, Risky Business.
I was just about to say, this bleeds of, like, the real-life application of Aziz Ansari's character on Parks and Rec.
Right.
Like, it also bleeds of, like, the parody. The 80s parody of the ugly douche who thinks he's a high roller and just keeps watching money fall through his fingers. So instead of, you know, getting a financial planner, he just gets worse and worse.
He's also a bit of a thug, too, because apparently there's another suit out that he was accused in December of 2013 of threatening a former MSMB employee and his family on social media and in written letters.
Oh, yeah, no, he said he hoped that the guy and his children starved to death homeless on the street, because how dare he go public with saying what he did wrong.
Yep. Quote, I hope to see you and your four children homeless and will do whatever I can to assure this.
I'm just saying, I could take him.
Well, have you seen this guy? He's a little, like, flimsy piece of nothing. You would destroy him. I would
love to break his spirit and then break his wrists, but not until after he signed over all of his shares to this friggin' medicine to Bernie Sanders specifically.
Nice. Now, he also, just to continue to paint the true picture of the dude, after he reached an out-of-court settlement in the lawsuit filed against him by Retrofin, Martin contacted the children of the guy that he threatened. He contacted them on Facebook and then accused their father of betraying him and stealing $3 million from him.
Just, you ever just, like, look at a guy and be like, I could give you a wedgie that you will not recover from?
The atomic wedgie is necessary for such a person.
But
yeah.
For those of you who do not know, the atomic wedgie is where the waistband actually goes over the head.
Yes. And then I would then proceed with this. No. The swirly would have to come first.
Yes.
Yes. The swirly would have to come first. And
atomic
then
wedgie. And then hang him on a coat rack by said wedgie.
I was thinking flagpole.
No, because you know what?
Just crank him right up.
You know, because you know what? That is just as bad as the Confederate flag.
Oh!
It don't need to be there.
But
I don't think anyone would salute, so it's probably okay.
Be okay.
Oh, he has defended his decision, however, to hike the price of his latest acquisition, Daraprim, by 5,500%, saying the increase was necessary to protect his investment and still kept the drug, quote, underpriced on the current market.
You know, he says that, but nowhere in the world do drugs cost as much as they do in America.
No, do you realize what he's saying there? He's saying it will always be underpriced because there is not yet a dollar sign on human life.
Right,
and
that
as long
is
as
correct.
People, yeah. As long as people need it to live, there is no boundary to how much it's worth because he's not going to put a price tag on human life.
Yeah.
So he will always be able to tell himself that he didn't do the wrong thing, because if human life is priceless, what is a 5,500% jump in price
right.
for your life?
Martin insulted reporters who questioned the price hike, calling one a moron and suggesting the details were too complicated for the average person to understand.
I'm pretty sure the average person understands quite clearly. You're a jackass who wants to deny life-saving medication to people who need it.
August 17th, he tweeted out, I am not the one to fuck with. And then hashtag Wu-Tang.
You know what that reeks to me? Internet tough guy. Because that phrase needs to be followed by the phrase, say that to my face and not on the internet and see what happens.
Yeah.
that's internet tough guy, really.
That's pretty much the deal. The internet has...
If I walked up to you and punched you in the jaw. Well, no, I wouldn't punch you in the jaw. It would be a heel of the palm strike to the nose, and then a punch to the sternum, and then a kick to the gut, because all three of those, all they really do is just hurt like hell. And then maybe when you're, you know, lying prostrate on the ground, I'd kick you in the kidneys a couple times for good measure. But what are you going to do besides cry? You're going to sick your lawyers on me, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Michael, so, I just want to say that that was an incredibly dashing superhero violence sort of thing, and your wife is lucky to have you.
Thank you.
That being said, I would simply like to dislocate one of this man's arms after he signed away everything to Bernie Sanders or Leonardo DiCaprio, who is a superhero. So, you know what? No. He wants to hashtag this shit Wu-Tang? Hand him over to a single member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, you know how you guys donate money to AIDS research? Look at the price tag on this shit now.
Check out what this guy just did.
Yeah.
And then he hashtagged your group. And then, you know, we can all rally and crowdfund for the bail after they beat this guy into nothing.
No, you know what? We wouldn't have to, because the Hell's Angels would be the ones to bail out the Wu-Tang Clan. Because as tough as those motherfuckers are, they're always doing good work.
So. Okay, like, so.
I just. Gross. Capitalism. Ew.
Well, speaking of capitalism, the internet has, of course, granted us a great number of research items. And International Federation of Health Plans, the IFHP, did a 2013 comparative price report on certain medications. And thanks to this douchebag coming up and doing this, the internet answered to the call by going ahead and compiling a little list for us. So this is just comparing the cost of drugs in the United States versus the cost of drugs in other countries around the world, specifically Canada, the UK, Spain, and the Netherlands, compared to the United States. Enbrel, which is a drug similar to Daraprim, as an autoimmune booster, in Canada, it is $1,600. In the UK, it's $1,100. In Spain, it's $1,300. In the Netherlands, it's $1,500. Here in the United States, it's $3,000.
Go fuck yourself.
Celebrex, which is a pain management drug, $51 in Canada, $112 in the UK, $164 in Spain, $112 in the Netherlands. $330 here.
What?
Go fuck yourself.
$330. Wow. Yeah. Copaxone, it is for multiple sclerosis, debilitating condition, of course, central nervous system, where basically it's eating itself. In Canada, it's $1,400. The UK, $862. Spain, about $1,200. And also about $1,200 in Netherlands. Here in the United States, it's $3,900. Cymbalta. I believe I've seen commercials for Cymbalta. It's an antidepressant. In Canada, it's $110. UK, $46. Spain, $71. Netherlands, $52. And here in the United States, it's $240 smackers. Oh, here's Gleevec. It's for leukemia. In Canada, $1,100. The UK, $2,697. In Spain, $3,348 in the Netherlands, $3,321. Would you care to hazard a guess if you haven't looked at this chart?
$10,000.
$8K.
$10,000? $8K wins, $8,500.
There you go.
To combat leukemia.
Lest we forget, leukemia is the thing that little kids get the most often.
Yes.
Little kids get cancer, and it's usually leukemia.
Because what parent isn't going to mortgage everything they have and sell their own organs to save their children?
Yeah, to save their kid.
Because once again,
and it's despicable.
You know, because once again, since human life is priceless, we can stick whatever tag we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's despicable.
Humana, Humira for arthritis, averages for $1,100 to maybe $2,000 around the world. Here in the United States, it's $3,000, another $1,000 on top of the average price tag. Nexium, it's just for acid reflux. I've been prescribed Nexium.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, $30. That's pretty average. Here in the United States, add a zero. It's $300.
Yeah,
it is.
So, if that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what will. Apparently, you have been blessed with fantastic genes and are never, ever going to get sick.
Yeah, and these, by the way, are great things to quote to your conservative douchebag relatives. I love using actual medication prices at family gatherings because they're all about how important the free market is and how capitalism is sacred. And I love slapping them in the face with all this because these are all medications that at least one person in my family takes. It's like, you've got arthritis, you've got acid reflux, you're on pain meds for fibromyalgia, and look at how much you're overpaying because of your holy capitalism.
Our dutiful chat room guest, he discovered what the stock is for this douchebag. And it ain't doing so well over the last 3 months here. August 21st, it was at $17.68 a share. That was on Friday. On the following Monday, it was at $3.65.
Fuck you.
Yeah, not doing so hot there. Good. That's all I can say. I'm very sorry, however, for all the people that are caught up in douchebaggery, and I really wish you find another job. Because this kind of thing, people get wrapped up into it, and, you know, you're trying to make a living, and the guy at the top is an absolute asshole. And I please implore you all, find another job and leave him hanging dry.
Yes.
That's all you can do.
Leave the company like a sinking ship. Yeah. Do it.
Flee.
And you
Flee
know what?
Like the rats that are the Republicans leaving the party. Oh, wait,
and you
no,
know what?
Sorry.
Wait, what? Absolutely put it in your resume that you left because this guy was evil.
Specifically.
And
yes.
Watch how quickly you get a good job.
Yeah, because there are plenty of other corporate entities that have responded by specifically saying, "This is a travesty, and we ain't gonna do it. We ain't gonna stand for it."
Are you kidding me? If I was one of those guys in like the middle management area, I'd be like, "Here's my resignation. I'm gonna write a letter to Mark Ruffalo, who controls all kinds of good guy science things." And I'd be like, hey, Mark Ruffalo, you know anybody who isn't evil? Because I'd love to talk to them.
That'd be good. Okay, so enough of that. Enough of that. Our logical fallacy this week is ambiguity. I will go ahead and read it for you, because, again, all of my stuff is down. I feel horrible about that, but okay. So you used a double meaning or ambiguity of language to mislead or misrepresent the truth. I think with all the speeches and everything, this is appropriate. Politicians are often guilty of using ambiguity to mislead and will later point out how they were technically not outright lying if they come under scrutiny. The reason that it qualifies as a fallacy is that it is intrinsically misleading. For example, when the judge asked the defendant why he hadn't paid his parking fines, he said that he shouldn't have to pay them because the sign said, fine for parking here, and so he naturally presumed that it would be fine to park there.
It's like, no, that shit doesn't cut it.
That's some bad pun.
It is a bad pun. It is a bad pun, but it's just so punny, and it is a logical fallacy, and that brings us into the ugly. Perfect. Thank you so much. So, though it's actually in possibly the good category, depending on who you are, I chose to put it here in the ugly because of what it could mean, what it represents. John Bonner, the Speaker of the House, the third person in line to inherit the presidency should horrible things happen, has decided that he is going to end his political career. at the end of October. The question as to why seems to be the first and foremost on my mind. He had a press conference where he rattled off his many reasons and things like that. And apparently he was contemplating it, doing it last year. I also found out that his birthday is also the same as mine. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's tainting it, but that's okay. Alternatively to that is he has been under enormous pressure since Obama took office, really, to put up every roadblock and every blockade that he possibly can to prevent him from getting his policies done. And ostensibly, I think he may have a little bit of Stockholm syndrome going on, where he's been under the guise that he's doing the right thing the whole time. And he's being guided and directed by these extremely right-wing, you know, the ones that are no longer on the spectrum, as Noam Chomsky would say, basically the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Their ranks are clamoring right now for shutting down the entire government
again
over defunding Planned Parenthood, because obviously that's what they want. Or at least that's what it seems like. Could there be other options? I don't know. What's going on here? Is it just that it's no longer the Republican Party that he thought he was in? Because some of the comments that he made, I've got several links here, and one's the video of him giving the resignation speech, that he's there to kind of shepherd the party, to kind of, you know, guide it along. That's the way he envisioned the speaker position to be. I don't think it's the same party that he signed into.
See,
no, he can't bring it along because he doesn't recognize the people and the goals that are under him anymore.
No, see, I don't fucking buy it, because every step of the way and every terrible thing that they've done, he has been, you know, violently agreeing with this shit. Everything out of his mouth all these years has been just nonstop bile and hatred. And now all of a sudden here's this apologetic speech. No, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit. What happened is what happens in any situation where you have an impossible task before you, because the Republican Party wants impossible things. They want things that cannot be accomplished. This is a fact. Because they want all the immigrants to be gone from America. You can't get rid of all the immigrants in America, because we're all immigrants. America would cease to exist. They want impossible things, and they have so much cognitive dissonance going on that they can't recognize it. So he has done all of these things to constantly roadblock Obama and the Democratic Party. And and still, despite their best efforts, they have lost. Now, to a Republican, obviously, this means that the guy who is in charge of all this failed. It's not that the American public doesn't agree with you. It's not that you're full of bullshit. It's that, obviously, someone was sabotaging your efforts to succeed. And so now that they have failed so completely on so many fronts, they have to have their scapegoat, and he is their scapegoat. He is seeing it coming, because, you know, he's in the club. He can actually listen to the water cooler talk. He sees it coming. Whatever is being talked about behind closed doors, he knows that it's there, and he's leaving the ship before it blows itself up, trying to blow him up, because he's their failure. And so now he's trying to salvage his own reputation and point the fingers back at them when he was complicit in all of this in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but like, for me, it's not even that deep, as far as what I can tell. It's very simple. He was part of the bullies at the playground, and they threatened to kick him out of the fucking sandbox, so he said, fine, I'm going to leave the sandbox by myself, and I'm going to tell everybody what you said here in this here sandbox.
I'm going to take my ball and go home. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, because at the end of the day, the scary thing is we have to realize that they've gotten too evil for him. Either because they wanted him to do something new that he's not willing to do, or they just literally were like, you know what, you can't do our bidding anymore. Maybe you should think about retiring.
That like, seems to be a bit of what the rhetoric is.
Like as far as I'm concerned, like that means that they have gone so far off the deep end that this guy who like I have shuddered at the mention of his name before is no longer up to par with their like heinous antics. That's scary.
Yeah. Conservatives at the Values Voters Summit cheered Friday morning when they learned that House Speaker John Bonner was retiring. Friday afternoon, they cheered again when someone suggested the next establishment Republican to lose his job should be Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Quote, here's what I say in response to Speaker Bonner stepping down. Mitch McConnell, it is now your turn, Louisiana Governor and GOP presidential candidate Bobby Jindal said to raucous applause. It is the snake that is eating itself. They can't make any decisions because they're biting their own head.
Yeah, the problem with this is that, you know, the reality of the situation is that Bonner was one of the more moderate and more likable Republicans. That's true and is also scary. He's yes. actually somewhat remotely relatable as a, you know, non-insane human being. And this just proves that they're getting more and more radical, which, as any political analyst can tell you, the more radical you get, the more you're going to lose faster and faster. The entire party is turning
more marginalized.
Yeah, the entire party is marginalizing itself. They're turning into the grumpy old guy saying, you kids get off my lawn. And everybody knows you don't take that guy seriously.
I just can we just like take a moment and I mean like you mentioned Bobby Jindal and there is something in that man that it's broken.
That's like, putting it mildly, I think.
Like well, I mean like I question the sanity of any person of color who joins the Conservative Party. First of all. Because Bobby Jindal, you are so obviously the son of immigrants.
He had a portrait commissioned on the taxpayer dole of himself to hang in the governor's house or whatever. And
was he whitewashed?
He's several shades lighter. Yes,
Bobby Jindal,
he whitewashed it like Cesare Borgia whitewashed the portraits of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Like
commissioned Bobby his Jindal, own work.
His last name is Jindal. Like, on what planet do you think you're going to pass for a white Southern boy?
Yeah, dude. Sorry, that ain't no Anglo-Saxon or Germanic. Or Slavic name right there.
Like,
that
man,
ain't.
There is nothing about you that is a WASP, and yet you are trying to champion for the WASPs. And then the fact that he's going to be like Bobby Jindal, okay, is going to be like, it's time for you to leave the party because you're not effective. Bobby Jindal, you run Louisiana. There is nothing in Louisiana that needs to be done that has been done in a long time. You have no right to sit there and be like, well, you need to do your job or get out. Really, Bobby Jindal, now you want to be president?
I got something for this. I got something great for this. You're going to love and hate me at the same time. So
That's what we're here for.
Here's a guy who does not at all fit into the demographic he's championing. You know who else did that? Hitler. Because Hitler championed the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan superhero and was himself a short, black-haired, brown-eyed Jew. Half Jew.
Yes. And it goes into, like, you know, you can definitely make an argument for internalized racism and being blinded by money,
Because Bobby Jindal got lots of money. Bobby Jindal may not have lots of brain, but Bobby Jindal got lots of money. But, I mean, he's 3 seconds away from the second that he admits that he is a person of color, everybody is going to be like, oh no, he said it. We have to kick you out now. Sorry. We can't do that.
He admitted the truth. We must immediately ostracize him.
Like, because like
shun
right
the
now,
non-believer.
He's in so much denial about where his demographic is that it's comical. And then so for him to have anything to say about Bonner or Bonner's effectiveness or Bonner's place in the government is laughable.
Yeah.
Oh yes, quite. I just posted in our internal chat an article that has the picture of Bobby Jindal's official portrait. So you too can see that.
Wow.
It's not quite right.
It is nowhere near right.
No.
Oh my God, that's a picture of Stephen Colbert with no glasses on.
That or beard. It reminds me of Mr. Rogers, and I'm not happy about that because Mr. Rogers was a radiant human being.
Yeah, it's definitely whitewashed, as you said.
I
will put that in the show notes, everybody. Under the ugly, the Bobby Jindal portrait.
Bobby Jindal counts as the ugly on all accounts now.
Yeah.
Oh my! Like I thought, I had a feeling it was going to be whitewashed, but like.
But
no,
to
that's
that
a
degree.
That's a different person.
It really is. Yeah.
That's not what if Bobby Jindal was white. That was. What if Stephen Colbert had slightly more Desi features?
Yeah, it really doesn't look like him at all.
It's quite bad. It's quite bad.
Oh my God.
But that's what he asked for.
Of course it is. Because he's like that horrible character from the Chappelle show. The black KKK member. Like, it's the only thing that comes to mind when Bobby Jindal talks. Is that Dave Chappelle had a blind character who was raised by white supremacists who didn't have the heart to tell him he was black,
oh,
so
God,
joined the KKK. And
was one of the few bits of his that I liked.
And he was a champion for the KKK because he was such a dynamic speaker. And then when he found out he was black, he divorced his wife for sleeping with a black man. Like it's that level of preposterous to me.
Proof that nothing fiction invents will ever be more absurd than real life.
Like, Republican Party, get your shit together. I actually have friends who are proper moderate Republicans. They believe in small government, in that the government needs to stay out of people's bedrooms and out of their wallets. And I can respect their point of views regardless of how I feel about them. But
those people aren't Republicans anymore. Those are actual conservatives. They want small government and all that. That's not Republican anymore. Republican is something else entirely.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But because of the stigma they were raised on about, you know, Democrats or independents or whatever, they are stuck just desperately apologizing for these monsters that are coming through.
And that's another thing that I don't understand. Why do you apologize for another person's behavior? You didn't fucking do it. And if you don't agree with it, why are you apologizing for it? Why aren't you trying to change it?
Like, I'm just legitimately afraid at this point. Who, like...
Okay, and that's why we're talking about it. That's why we're definitely talking about it.
You know,
who are they going to elect into that position? Because it's voted in,
like,
by their own members. So
by their own members, this was also his Hail Mary to still be allowed at the Cool Kids Club.
Yeah,
because if he excuses himself,
mm-hmm.
and then suggests somebody else who can champion over being a bully on the playground, then he doesn't lose all of his connections for whatever nefarious thing he is undoubtedly doing, as most politicians do.
Oh, something in the Andy Borowitz blog over at New Yorker, which, by the way, yes, it is satire. This also came to us from the chat room, which is on fire this evening, I might add.
Crazy.
Bonner to continue repealing Obamacare after leaving Congress. House Speaker John Bonner announced that he would resign as Speaker and leave Congress in October, but he said that he would continue repealing Obamacare from his home in Ohio. Explaining his decision, Bonner told reporters, "A lot of the Speaker's job is administrative, which is time-consuming and tiring. In retirement, I'll have more time for what I really love, repealing Obamacare."
See, here's the thing, and this is true more and more of Republican politics. Whenever it comes from a satire site, I have to double and triple check the source.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm very happy that on the Facebook feed, they say very clearly at the top what the source is, because so many of those articles from The Onion, I'm just like, this is a real thing.
Well, it's not like just that. There are so many from not The Onion.
Right?
That yes. You're like, is this, like, the whole,
is
you know.
Is this the real life, or is this just fantasy?
You know, women who don't want to be raped won't get pregnant from rape. And I remember, like, looking at that and being like, that's The Onion.
It's gotta be, but no.
I'm like, it's gotta be The Onion, because, like, you know, I went to school for evolutionary biology. That's definitely ducks they're talking about. And then, no. Bonner and his friends were like, I don't think it's ducks. I think it's the women's.
I think and it's like, people.
And I was like, that wasn't a joke. I thought that I was reading, like, this viral, yeah, like...
You were preparing for a little laugh, and then, oh...
And then I was really sad.
No. Yeah, the only thing that you get to do is laugh in fear and back out of the room slowly.
You've got to laugh or else you cry.
Yeah, you were prepared for the laugh, for the funnies, to feel good, and then you had to laugh to prevent the tears from coming.
When you laugh at somebody that really doesn't understand anything and they've said something absolutely horrible and you swear that it's satire and you're laughing, and then the look on your face tells you that they're serious, and you go, oh.
Oh, you're serious?
Oh, no. Oh, no, dear. Oh, no.
It's just like Bonner retiring in the first place. Like, I thought that was a joke.
I thought that was a fucking joke. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Like, mm-hmm. I was like, no way, because he has no friends outside of there, and then it turns out he has no friends inside of there either. So, like...
True. Yeah.
This is his last chance to be part of the cool kids table when he gets out of work.
Right.
And then like
something amazing.
It's so depressing that, like, they're so mean in there. Bonner, who is the poster child of mean, has been thinking for months, maybe I don't want to play anymore.
He was your fucking poster boy. We all vehemently hated him. That's how you know he was succeeding.
Yeah.
Like, and then just the sheer fact that he's been thinking about this a long time. That means they've been so awful under the radar that he has been uncomfortable with how awful they are.
In his announcement, the reporters asked, who was the first person you told? And he said, he had to think about it for a second. My wife. And they asked, well, what did she think? What did she say? Good. Which I imagine it's like, good, you're going to get out of that rat race and everything, but, you know, who knows, maybe she's a closet Democrat. It's possible. I don't know.
I'm sure she married a guy that she was attracted to and not a monster, and he has turned into a monster, and she's like, oh my God, does this mean the blood pact has been sealed? Can we go back to our regular lives? No more drinking the blood of children and sad single mothers who just want to get on with their lives? We can do things like a family again. Sob.
Oh my God. That paints such an adequate picture, I think.
I do try.
That's amazing.
I try to paint a picture.
So just a little background. He's a 13-term Ohio Republican.
Gross.
Keep going. I'll probably say this a lot.
He was first elected to the House in 1990, and he established a strongly conservative record, obviously. He was part of former Speaker Newt Gingrich's leadership team.
Gross.
Yeah, yeah. When the Republicans took over the House in 95. Then things kind of went weird and went south after the 1998 midterms when the GOP, you know, got bounced out. He won,
to use a technical term, the stanky boot.
Yeah, there you go. he won a 2006 race to succeed Tom DeLay as the House's number two Republican, and then DeLay stepped aside as majority leader. He took over as the top Republican in the House in 2007 after Democrats retook the chamber. As Speaker, his tenure has been defined by his early struggles to reach budget agreements with President Barack Obama and his wrestling with the expectations of Tea Party conservatives who demanded a more confrontational approach. That's putting it mildly, I believe.
How could they have a more confrontational approach? They have shut down the government once. They are threatening to do it again. They have vetoed literally everything that has crossed their desk. How?
Apparently, it's not enough for them. It's just not enough. In 2013, conservatives drove him to reluctantly embrace a partial government shutdown in hopes of delaying implementation of the new healthcare law. Now, Tea Party lawmakers have been pressing him to retry the tactic to try to take away federal funding from Planned Parenthood following the disclosure of the controversial video involving its practices to procure fetal tissue for research purposes.
The controversial video, which has been proven to be 100% fabricated.
Correct.
Fabricated made out of to the point where Fox News is like, y'all know this is bullshit that even we can't pretend.
You do realize we can find not a single shred of evidence this ever happened. Because if they have a shred, they will take that shred to the moon and back.
Well, like, I saw the video and like the anchor has got this face on.
The complete look of incredulity and the definition of our show. Oh, really?
It's literally the this bitch over here face.
Yeah. This bitch over here.
This bitch over here trying to talk to me, trying to say words.
Trying to say words? That's nice.
And they straight up asked her. I love that they flat out asked her, you do realize that no one can establish this accident. No one besides you can prove this ever happened. And she just flat out said, no, I don't believe you. You're wrong.
It's like, we found no proof. That's not true.
I don't, yeah. Like,
and Fox is like,
you're such a fucking, but see, this is, you know, we keep coming back to it. This is the cognitive dissonance, the just flat out refusal to acknowledge the truth when it's right in front of you. Like I saw, and this is another, just as another example, I saw this great thing on Tumblr, as I am wont to do, because Tumblr has great things, of it was some, you know, Republican bullshit infographic. It had one of those little Bernie Sanders flyers of all the things that he wants to do.
Also, you're welcome. I posted that first, too.
Yeah. Well, I got that through somebody else, but I saw that you posted it as well. It's, you know, it's got all of
great minds think alike, kids. It's okay.
Yeah, it's got all these great things he wants to do, like universal health care and you know, the renewable energy and expanding Social Security and all that stuff. And of course, the Republican Party line is, notice anything missing? How to pay for it? And in the shot of the graphic that they used, there are two lines: raise taxes on the 1% and stop endless military spending.
But they weren't highlighted.
It's literally right in front of you.
But they weren't highlighted by the Republican person.
Nope, of course not. Now, nice. The Field of Burn card is up. Okay, so now with this, it is coming right on the tailcoats here of the Pope's visit, which was orchestrated by Bonner. He was visibly shaken and in tears through some parts of the speech. So I'm wondering if it was just like the last nail in the coffin kind of thing, straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, I also
any number of those.
No, because he said it, he's been doing it for a while. He's been wanting to say it for a while. And I'll say this, when you get to orchestrate those things, usually you get to, because you're the host, review what's going to be said. Because you are the host, you are responsible, and I'm willing.
I don't know that they can review the Pope. I don't think they can.
No. See, I'm willing. I'm willing to bet
that, you know, Bonner
actually,
was...
Actually, there was some that was pre-released.
Yeah.
You know, they actually went through and, you know, struck through some things that weren't there anymore.
And I'm willing to bet that when he, like, got hold of Team Pope, Team Pope was like, you know he hates you, right? And he'll only show up if you promise to stop being you for as long as he is in town. And he was like, well, if the Pope doesn't love me, guess I don't need my job. And he was, and then, like, then he called his wife, and, you know, she was still being held captive by the rest of the House of Representatives. And she was like, baby, if the Pope says you gotta stop, maybe we just gotta stop. And then he was like, okay. And that's why she's free from her shackles, and that's why he got to meet the Pope. I'm believing this.
I can't. I simply cannot. When you have the track record of pure evil that he does, I don't believe his fucking crocodile tears. I think that he got outed by his own people because he failed to meet their impossible standards, and now he's trying to pretend he's a decent human being so the rest of the world doesn't hate him anymore. Because you can withstand the hatred when you have someone backing you. But now he doesn't have that anymore.
He actually entered and left his little press conference singing Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-A.
Yeah.
My, oh my, what a...
I mean, like I said, they're letting his family...
Up here for a second.
They're letting his family free from whatever dark cave they've been holding them in since he didn't agree to be as evil as they wanted. He was like, I don't think anybody can be that evil. And they were like, ah-ha-ha-ha.
We'll show you.
Replace you. Ah-ha-ha. And that's my understanding of the right wing.
There's an interesting little coterie here. I'm out on a website that some of you may know and hate, Breitbart.com, and it's, you know, staunchly conservative. In fact, there's some interesting things that I have to look at again that are showing up that are fascinating little tidbits on the page. But a focus of conservatives complained about Bonner. Quote, just does not want to become the issue, said Representative John Mica, a Republican out of our fair state of Florida. Some people have tried to make him the issue both in Congress and outside. So, like, you know, he's the problem. Let's get rid of him. He is the scapegoat. He's the one that's going to be sent off to die. Conservatives have demanded that any legislation to keep the government operating past next Wednesday's deadline strip Planned Parenthood of government's funds, an argument rejected by the more pragmatic lawmakers. The dispute has threatened Bonner's speakership and roiled the GOP caucus. Some conservatives welcomed the announcement. Representative Tim Hulskamp from Kansas said it's time for new leadership. Representative Tom Massey of Kentucky said that the speaker, quote, subverted our republic. I love that talking point.
Et tu, Brute?
Yes, exactly. Massey also said that, I think it was inevitable. This is a condition of his own making right here. But more mainstream Republicans, because obviously these people have gone a little far off the reservation, said it would be a pariahic victory for the Tea Partiers. Quote, the honor of John Bonner this morning stands in stark contrast to the idiocy of those members who seek to continually divide us, said Representative David Jolly, Republican out of Florida again. The shutdown caucus, as I call them, has a small victory. The shutdown caucus. They have a name, a moniker.
It's like a supervillain nickname for their group. Like, yeah.
The shutdown, like, caucus.
The shutdown caucus strikes again.
Yeah,
my laugh is an evil laugh. Yeah.
I certainly expect that to be I expect any time. At least one of the people to end up some statement they're making with, and I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids.
That is the absolute perfect way to end this segment, I think. And so, audience, you know, give us some feedback. Tell us what you thought of the sinking ship that may be the GOP, and let us know your thoughts. Go ahead and send them in, orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com, or phone them in at 470-222-ORLY or 6759. So, Entertainment Reviews and Nitpicks. I have concluded two books this week, which is a bit more than I usually do, especially given one of them is like 35 hours on Audible, and the other's another 10. So the first one that I went through was Seven Eves. It's a newer novel by Neal Stephenson, who is a fantastic author. And let me see here if I can let my phone play the first few lines of the book, because that should give you all the information you really need to know about it.
To Jamie, Maria, yep. Marco, and Jeff. Part 1. The Age of the One Moon. The moon blew up without warning and for no apparent reason. It was waxing, only one...
That's all you need to hear. The moon blew up without warning.
And for apparently no reason.
And for apparently no reason.
Go on. You have my attention, sir.
Of all the hooks...
My interest.
Of all the hooks that I've ever encountered in novels, that one is blatant.
And of course, using like the calmest stewardess voice to narrate.
Yeah,
and if you look outside, yeah,
it'd be better if it was narrated by Stephen Fry.
Well, there are two narrators for the book. The through the first half of the book or so is this lady's voice, and then it switches to a male voice. Though a bit jarring, it actually makes a great deal of sense within the context of the book. Also, it's a rather long book, so, you know, might as well spread it around. So that is definitely my pick. It is long, but it is a fascinating look at what happens after the moon explodes.
I actually do have something. I'm clearing something off of it right now. The Fight Club sequel is a comic book series.
And it is written,
and it is written by the original author with some help, Chuck Palahniuk. I swear to God, I don't know how to say his name, but apparently neither does he, so there we go. It takes place 10 years after the movie, because he considers the movie the final draft of the book. That's important to know. He considers the movie better than the book. So if you enjoyed the movie, that is the canon, the way things are. And this is 10 years after, where the narrator, whose name is turned out to be Sebastian, and Marla have a 10-year-old child and are pending divorce. And it turns out that Tyler Durden has been secretly watching and judging them this whole time. I've read the first few issues, and the artwork is very nice. The story is just as crass as the book and the movie, and it's very gripping. And, you know, they're cheap. They're comic books. This issue 1, and I mean, $3.99 to get started. So.
And that's through Dark Horse Comics?
Through Dark Horse Comics. It's Chuck Palahniuk and Cameron Stewart. I mean, I've actually got the first few here. If you look at, like, the artwork is phenomenal.
Nice.
And, yeah, no, I mean...
That's great.
I haven't gotten this far yet, but this is a very interesting thing.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay.
That's my thing. That, and you can buy Surge by the case at certain places.
And good this luck. Is super exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay. And, Mike, do you have anything?
Well, I don't have anything in the book world, because I am still reading the complete works of H.P. Lovecraft. Dude, I have read bits and pieces, like my favorite stories out of here, like The Music of Eric Zahn and Polaris and, of course, The Call of Cthulhu. And I said to myself the other day, I said, self, I want to finish it. I want to read them all. So I'm not picking up another book until I do, and that's going to be a challenge.
That is a thick book.
But since I am the self-proclaimed rabid gamer here, I'm going to be a rabid gamer for a second. I have been following a project called Skywind for a while. It is a project by a bunch of people who love the Elder Scrolls series, because there are a lot of people who love the Elder Scrolls series, who want to rebuild the world of Morrowind using the Skyrim engine, because Morrowind is pretty much universally regarded as the best one of the series. So there's this huge revival project going on, and I was playing Skyrim, and I finished Skyrim, and I really wanted to keep playing more Elder Scrolls, so I went and looked up the status of the project, and it's not finished yet. But while I was doing my searching, I found this other thing. It is called the Morrowind Overhaul, and it is hosted on a site called ornicopter.net, which we're going to put in the links. I've got it here for you, Andy, so I can link it to you. And what the Morrowind Overhaul is, it is a compilation and a just expert weaving together of just countless modifications that have been produced for Morrowind over the years. It has been packaged as a single install that functions off of either the discs, the retail disc versions, or if you have the Game of the Year edition on Steam, as long as you have a clean install, it will just run, and you make a few tweaks here and there, and it will patch, essentially. It's a huge community patch for Morrowind, which is, you know, fucking beloved. But, you know, it's older, and it has not aged well, especially visually. This fixes that by making it look gorgeous while still, you know, being in the same engine as the older game, as well as changing some functionality to include things that we know and love, like magic regenerating and all sorts of stuff. For those of you Elder Scrolls fans out there who love new features but want to go back and play the old story. So there's just... it's a fantastic piece of work. I'm in the middle of these several hour processes of reinstalling it now, because I've never had the complete version before. The last time I played Elder Scrolls, this wasn't out. I just had the list of all the mods that's in this package. So it's, you know, for those of you who love the Elder Scrolls and want to go back and play Morrowind because it's amazing, you should get the Morrowind Overhaul from Ornicopter.
Okay. I have links to Seven Eves by Neil Stephenson, The Elder Scrolls Morrowind Overhaul by Ornicopter, and to Fight Club 2 by Dark Horse Comics, produced by Dark Horse Comics. I have links to all of those under our Entertainment Reviews and Nitpicks section in the show notes for episode 78, which is available, as you can probably figure out, at oreallyradio.com. And that is going to do it for us. I'm not going to obviously play the music, because if I do, it's going to be echoey and everybody's going to hate it, so I'm just going to skip that. So we'll be back next Friday about 9:30, depending on stuff. In the meantime, the conversation should continue on the web. Head over to orillyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y radio.com for all the links at the top of the page. And do watch us live and chat in the IRC like we've had a couple people doing. It's fantastic. Thank you very much. And if you've liked what we do here, you can help keep the lights on. Follow the Help Us link on the webpage. That'll take you over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. If that's too rich for you to contribute with money, that's okay. We completely understand. But we do need topic ideas, corrections. Hey, we'll take some advertising offers, too. And unclaimed lottery tickets, those are always nice. And we'll even take hate mail, unsolicited advice, random texts in the middle of the night. You can send all those over to orillyradiopodcast@gmail.com or leave the voicemail or text at 470-222-6759. Also, we've got a subreddit, and we're also out on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google+, and of course, you're probably watching this on YouTube. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. And there is one more thing that I wanted to add, since we're kind of doing the last bit. We did get a last-minute submission by our chat room, and they have made a pick. And that pick is a Enterprise3Dproject.com. It is a USS Enterprise construction project. I don't even completely understand what it's all about, but you can find it at enterprise3dproject.com.
I think I've heard of this. It's a complete reconstruction of the thing that you can do, like a virtual tour of the ship in real size.
Yes, using the Unreal 4 engine and an Oculus.
Because everything happens on the Unreal engine, because it's just so fucking easy to use.
Yes, absolutely. Apparently it's working off of Rick Sternbach's official blueprints, Ed Whitefire's unofficial blueprints, and with many personal adjustments to make it work.
Super
so
cool.
So it's being crowdfunded by Patreon, and it's also out of Kickstarter. So if you ever wanted to wander about a Galaxy-class Enterprise, the Enterprise-D, hey, go check it out. See what's going on.
We live in the future. Do not forget. Do not forget. Wait.
We do.
We live in the future.
It's pretty amazing. So with that, go outside. Go do something. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Adios.